What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Discovering Discographies podcast,
where we talk about your favorite artists, albums, and all things music. I'm your host, Brandon Pulliam.
And I'm your host, Brandon Point.
And without further ado, let's dive into today's topic.
All right, so today's topic is very fitting for the new year. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes.
Happy 2024. We're going to be talking about some of the things we want to see from music this year. Just in review, last year, I feel like was pretty quiet in terms of like new things popping up or just really big events in music.
Yeah, I think for me, there were some like high highs, but then like everything else was just lows, like pretty forgettable year for music, in my opinion.
Definitely forgettable. I think we can attribute a lot of that to like just the landscape of the music industry and TikTok specifically, which got some big news recently. A lot of the artists, well, all the artists under Universal Music Group are getting removed from the app, including big artists like Nicki, Drake, Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
And creators on the app and artists alike are already feeling like the effects from this. And I just think it's kind of a double-edged sword, or like a pro and a con, because I did say that I want to see less reliance on TikTok this year, but at the same time, it is kind of hurting the artists who need to push their music on TikTok.
Yeah, I agree, because TikTok has kind of become the new platform you aim to be popping on if you're trying to make it in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can lead to some artists kind of compromising their artistic creativity to make something that'll stick on TikTok. And in some instances that works and is also like a good piece of art, but in others, and most of the time, it may work, but it's not the best piece of art.
Definitely not the best piece of art. Definitely subpar.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like last year we had the most volume of like quote unquote TikTok music we've ever seen, where like the artists are just like catering their music to TikTok, and you can tell to where it's like lower quality than maybe their other music would be.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something I don't want to see. I feel like there needs to be more of a balance in the way artists promote their music. Like, it shouldn't just be dependent on social media.
Yeah.
Just still be going, like, on shows or on radio, whatever, like, in the real world.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing when it comes to TikTok is, like, it's the new MTV in a way. Because you can look back at, like, in the early 2000s and the 90s, especially in the early 2000s, but, like, people and artists would strive to create something that would be popping enough to get on MTV and be played multiple times. And whether that be your video having, like, all these special effects, having a big budget, and the storyline being like you're a spy, or it taking place out of space, like all these different things would be taken into account when in the creative process of probably not only the song but in the video as well. And I think TikTok is kind of similar in a way, as people, like I said before, try to make something that'll stick on TikTok and something that people can make a dance to, and it'll spread kind of like wildfire.
Yeah, and I, like, even though TikTok is meant for a larger audience than, like, MTV, like, we see these TikToks getting tens of millions of views sometimes, but the quality is so much lower than back in, like, MTV / TRL days. Artists back then, like, wanted their videos to be viewed for a spectacle and, like, to be appreciated in its art form, and I feel like nowadays it's just, like, a cash grab, like how many eyes can I get on this, no matter what the quality.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's where it kind of sucks, and we kind of see like people in the past when it comes to music, they genuinely care more about the music itself instead of just the like the opportunities that can come from it, and I hate to say, but, like, the money that can come from it.
Yeah. And I don't think we can, like, blame the artists 100%, because it's definitely the labels.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if they could choose, they wouldn't be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw a TikTok from Money Long, and she was like, when they take away your music on TikTok, but they only, like, equate your value to how much TikTok hits you have or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that must be such a frustrating thing to go through. And I can't imagine, but I think it's definitely on the labels to make that change and, like, create that balance.
Oh, yeah, and them taking the music off of TikTok is just a sign of the greed that these people have.
So now we're just going to go through, like, different genres and say what we want to see from each genre this year, first being R&B, which had a really, honestly, hopeful resurgence last year, I think, with a lot of... good artists breaking into the mainstream. I want to see more of that. I think a lot of the R&B artists have what it takes to be, like, very, very mainstream, like, just one of the legend artists.
Yeah.
And they don't get, like, the support they should get from the industry, like, being on major award shows or being played. I think R&B music should be played on, like, the quote-unquote pop radio stations.
It should.
Because hip-hop music does, like rap music does, so I don't see why R&B can't.
Yeah, see, that's the thing when it comes to pop music. I think people forget you have pop music, the genre, and then you have pop music as in, like, popular music.
Whatever is popular. Yeah.
So it technically is pop music if it's popular.
Yeah. Like, I don't see, like, why can't Made For Me be played on, like, Kiss FM or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just feel like they don't get that same treatment, even though they are, like, kind of considered, like, an other genre, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. I also said I want to see more men that can sing. I feel like we're lacking that.
I think I'm starting to see a couple more. Yeah. There's a specific group I'm thinking of, No Guidance.
I was literally just going to bring them up. I was listening to them on the way over here.
It's giving very much Boyz to Men.
It is giving Boyz to Men. Mm-hmm. Their song, Is It a Crime, is good. Shout out to Victoria Monet, who wrote that.
Oh, she wrote that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
She wrote their whole EP.
Yeah, she's on the on GMA now. She's doing big things.
Yes, period. but I feel like even seeing Usher now come back out with this new album and doing the Super Bowl, it just reminded me of that gap that we had for, like, a long time. It was just Chris Brown and Usher. Maybe, like, Jacquees, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I guess a lot of people don't really count The Weeknd as R&B. But
I feel like the only people that count The Weeknd as R&B is the award shows.
Probably.
Which are out of touch.
You could argue, he's kind of someone in between.
He is kind of like the in between, like Ariana, but I feel like he hasn't been truly, like, specifically R&B since before Beauty Behind the Madness. I would put him in pop though for anything.
That's fair.
Yeah, just more men that can sing, like, whether that be groups or solo artists. I know, have you heard of Saint Harrison?
Yes, I know who you're talking
about. Did the Eagle song, he can sing down. Yes. There's more people like that.
Mm-hmm. He gives me very much Sam Smith vibes.
Definitely Sam Smith vibes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sam Smith. I wonder what he's doing.
Yes, we love Sam Smith. They are amazing.
Go ahead.
I guess for me, I would really like to see more. I feel like we're moving away from the whole hip-hop inspired R&B sound, which I'm happy because that's another thing that has been played out. So I'm liking seeing more, like, soulful inspired songs and songs inspired by, like, past not generations but eras of R&B.
Yeah, and not like definitely like the 90s 2000s sounds coming back, 70s sound with, like, Victoria Monet
and
Silk Sonic and stuff, and, like, updating those sounds. Like, I feel like those sounds were left untouched for the majority of the 2010s when it was just, like you said, the hip-hop influence or, like, trap influence R&B was reigning. But now we're starting to see those sounds come back and be, like, cool. And it's just really, it's like a sign of hope almost. Because for a while there, R&B was getting very, not dry, but just, like, underrepresented.
Yeah.
Like, completely the underdog genre. And now it's coming back up.
For sure.
What about pop?
I guess for pop music, for me, I don't know. I like to see the disco inspired trend continue. I think Dua Lipa will probably continue to be the pioneer of that. That's the main thing for pop music I really want to see, is just the whole disco inspired sound continue. Because I am a disco fan, so
I'm a disco fan too. I feel like I'm a little bit tired of the disco sound. I feel like we've been there for a while.
I get that. I kind of, in the back of my mind, I'm a little tired of it.
Like, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to like the songs. Yeah. Like, if it's a disco song, I'm still going to listen to it. But it's just like, I feel feel like we need something new in pop mm-hmm. music too.
But I feel like for certain artists, like Dua Lipa, for example, if she mm-hmm. stepped away from it, I'd be like very scared. Oh yeah, no,
like that's her sound.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't know where this is going. Because like I know what her sound before that was like, and mm-hmm. I didn't really gel with it like that. But Future Nostalgia,
like she really found her sound, her footing with that one. I also like Sabrina Carpenter's disco songs, like Feather.
Yeah.
And Read Your Mind.
Yeah, I started getting into her.
Mm-hmm. She's on the come up.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I just said I want more upbeat and danceable music from pop music.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've been a little moody and just a little sad for mm-hmm. a while. And just one person I wrote down was Tate McRae. Mm. She did make that kind of moody, sad music. And she still does, but she took a more upbeat
mm-hmm.
and danceable route with her last album, Think Later, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of a precursor to what we'll see. I just definitely like the... not early 2000s, but like mid-2000s sound,
yeah.
Everything was a dance party. Like everything was, we're in the club, we're mm-hmm. we're drinking, we're tearing it up. That kind of like Nelly Furtado, mm-hmm. Britney, Fergie sound.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to see that come back.
Yeah, me too.
Country.
Country, I would say just really continuing with the more traditional country sound. I mean... don't get me wrong, I do like country pop to an extent. I can recognize the difference between the two. But I think people like Zach Bryan, like, really carrying home that, like, traditional country sound. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice to see.
Definitely. I would just love to see those coexist. I feel like a lot of country enthusiasts are very resentful of country pop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a place for it. Like, all my favorite artists are, like, they kind of lie in between genres, like mm-hmm. pop or R&B or R&B and hip-hop
mm-hmm.
or country and pop. And I just feel like there's a space for that sound. I want to see more artists, especially people of color artists, lie in that field. Kelsey Ballerini, someone who's been, like, in country pop for most of their career, and she's made, like, great music. I also just want to see country radio and like just the industry in general stop being racist and sexist. But like, it's played out, y'all. Like, mm-hmm. just give it up. There are a lot of black country artists and like just other people of color trying to break in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to an extent, but they have never gotten that like full support from yeah. the industry just because of the politics or whatever. So yeah. I want to see that go away. Not to say that will, I don't think it mm-hmm. will. Because of how our climate is in this country, but that's just something I would like to see.
Mm-hmm. I will say I am a bit tired of the hip-hop country fusion.
I forgot about that.
However, I do like to see, like, country artists hopping on, like, hip-hop songs that aren't in the vein of like the whole hip hop country thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like them kind of branching out to these other vastly different genres.
I like that too. I just think it needs to be diversified. I feel mm-hmm. like with a lot of the hip hop country songs, it's the same lyrical content,
yeah.
like the exact same lyrical content.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like country in general, which I know that's like, it's true to the genre, but I just mm-hmm. feel like we can talk about different things.
Yeah, that's why I suggest Zach Bryan.
Yes, Zach Bryan, Luke Combs.
Yeah, Luke Combs drives it home.
Yeah.
He can give you a beer smashing song 1 minute, but like he can give you like a really personal love song the next yeah, minute.
Yeah, definitely. Even some of like the not pioneers, but like older artists like mm-hmm. Kenny Chesney or like
oh yeah,
Luke Bryan even.
Yeah, and see that's the thing about country music, compared to other genres. There isn't really, like, an age cap on country mm-hmm. music. You could really be successful in country music at any age.
Definitely. I feel like I could argue even, like, you're more respected
yeah.
if you're older.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, you're going to be, I kind of guarantee to have a fan base if you're older, whereas in the other genres, it tends to drop off towards mm-hmm. the end of your career.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of country artists still getting accolades, still selling records, even in their mm-hmm. 60s, 70s.
I mean, look at Dolly Parton.
Look at Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton is a wonder of...
joy.
Just joy. Like, I've never seen somebody more loved by every
mm-hmm.
race, gender, like...
because she's so genuine and down to earth. Like,
yeah.
She's someone who truly remembers where she comes from.
That's
and
true.
Doesn't let that... She doesn't forget that either. She embraces it.
Love Dolly Parton. The last genre we're going to talk about is rap / hip hop. I want to see less Jersey Beats, y'all. I'm tired of the Jersey Beats. It was cool with like the little hips. I Want to Rock when it came out. Even Ice Spice last year. But as someone who like was around when Jersey music first became popular like 10 years ago plus, I just feel like it's not versatile enough. Like it's the exact same beat, like literally the exact same beat over and over again. It don't get me hyped like it used to. I feel like we need more dances actually. Like you remember when there was a new dance every month that you had to learn?
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about the real ones, no, like them Dub Smash days, Flipagram days, Wake Up in the Morning, Then I Dab. I just miss like dance challenges and stuff outside of TikTok.
Don't forget about Musical.ly.
Yes, Musical.ly, yeah. That's what
I meant. Formerly, what TikTok used to be.
Yeah. Real ones know.
Yeah. I think for me, the big thing would just be not really seeing, I don't want to see the trap sound as much anymore. I feel like we've played that out. It's time to come up with something new. But I would like to see more of the like fusion between dance and house music and hip hop, because I feel like it can really be like it can work well if it's executed right.
It works so well, and I feel like that was almost the origins of it when house was made. I would love to see that fusion. That sounds great. Like Azalea Banks.
Yeah.
Her music is so ahead of its time because not many artists really make that fusion, but it flows so well.
Like, yeah.
You know, rapping over a house beat or things like that and like dance beats. But I think the issue with that, like rap, especially the rap that's celebrated on a mainstream level, is just not open to stepping outside the box.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, beats or the type of music or even like the physical aesthetic of rappers that are popular nowadays. People that are like considered alt don't really get the support again from labels and stuff for like just the mainstream audience. And it's kind of sad to see because those are sometimes some of the most talented artists. But yeah, hopefully they'll start to get more shine.
I think Tyler, the Creator, is a great example of that. It's possible for an alternative rapper to be in the mainstream. But yeah, I would also like to see that too, because I think at this point in my like life, those are the rappers I tend to gravitate towards, just because I just don't relate to the I don't want to say hood rap, but like
I think the term is gangster rap. Actually.
Gangster rap. That's the better word.
Yeah, I don't relate to that either. And like, I wouldn't say I'm tired of like the trap sound because I love that sound. I feel like there's many ways you can spin that. But as far as gangster rap itself, I feel like it's kind of hit a roadblock. Like there's only so much we can do with that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing over and
over. It's the same thing over and over again. Like I feel like hip hop could be so great if it just expanded its horizons.
But I feel like someone like Rod Wave is really kind of doing that, stepping out of that box. I mean, granted, he falls into some of the tropes that we hear now of like just talking about the come up, you know. But I feel like he, especially with from what I've heard of his last album, like he's really starting to branch out and reshape gangster rap in a sense.
I love that. I've never listened to a Rod Wave project, but I might listen now.
I think the songs I've heard from his last album are really good.
I only know his popular songs, like Girl in My Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
They played that out.
And then I think I saw, like, a review for his last album, too, and it was, like, really high, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I know he's, like, he's surprised. Really, really popular, especially here in the South. But yeah, gangster rap, I feel like it just needs a little boost or something. Like, just leave it alone for a while. And that's not to, like, discredit it, because that is hip-hop culture.
Yeah, that
and
is.
And that is what it came from.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But I don't know. We just need something new, refresher. I feel like a lot of everything outside of R&B, we were like, it just needs a refresher. We just need something new.
All right, guys, now it's time for a segment we like to call What's in Our Ear, where we just share what we've been listening to lately.
This one might be a little long, y'all, because we did skip this one last episode, if you noticed. I've been listening to a lot of Destin Conrad lately. He just came out with, I don't know if it was an album or EP, but it was a follow-up to Submissive. It's just called Submissive 2. Awesome R&B, all R&B. I don't know how to describe his music. It's just so chill. Like, it's just such a vibe. It's such a vibe. And I can relate to the subject content because he is one of the girls.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we stand. I think for me, it's a couple of songs I've been bumping. So he's kind of been trending lately as the whole, like, the new wave of hood R&B. But Act 2, Data 8 by Four Bats. I don't know. It's something about that song just, I don't know. It gives me goosebumps. Like, I don't know how to describe it. But it's also like a fresh sound in the R&B kind of hip-hop margin. And it's just, it's a short song, but I like it. It's cool. And then I've also been bumping John Conception, Like That. This song is on track to be one of my top songs of the year. It's something about it. It just, it mixes kind of like the dance hall elements with R&B. And I think it works well together there. It's been executed very well.
I feel like we're having like sort of a dance hall resurgence too.
For sure. For sure.
Definitely. That might be one of the sounds of the summer.
Yes, I would definitely love to see that.
I've also been listening to No Guidance, who we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. They're two, I don't know if that's EP, but they have one EP called Is It a Crime? And then another one called White Tea, and they're both really, really good. Just like the vocal quality, it's something we've been missing. And then another British group, Flo, they released an EP last year called Three of Us, and I didn't really listen to it because I just didn't. But I listened to it recently, and it's really, really good. Again, vocals are just always on. Oh, never, yeah. Never caught slipping with the vocals.
Yeah, we love that. I guess the last one for me would be an oldie but a goodie, Square Biz by Tina Marie.
A classic. Like, yes. Certified cookout classic.
Oh, yes. It just, I think I heard it at work, and like it's just been in rotation a lot since, because it's a song I've just heard so many times.
Tina Marie has some bangers. Like, you need to listen to her albums.
I probably should. But even Square Biz is like 8 minutes long.
It is.
Y'all know how I feel about long songs, but I still love it. And it's just, it's an amazing song. If you haven't heard it, you should definitely check it out.
Who hasn't heard it? Well, That's y'all's Black History Month. Yeah. Required reading.
Well, she's not even black. That's what's so crazy.
She's honorary. She's invited to the cookout.
Yeah, she's invited to the cookout. Well, all right, guys. That's all for today's episode of Discovering Discographies. You can follow us on our Instagrams. Mine is Brandon is duh, D-A plug.
And mine is Brandon.WX.
And join us next time for the next episode of Discovering Discographies.
Thanks for listening.